broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed the blueprint for liberty that we follow, the supreme law of the land. That's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to believe that we're somehow anti-government, that we're somehow extreme, that we're somehow not in the mainstream, that we advocate for things that are, well, just kind of crazy, inappropriate, wrong-headed, something of that nature. It's an absolute lie, ladies and gentlemen. We are one of the most conservative organizations on the planet. Understand that? Understand it very, very clearly. Welcome to the broadcast. I know I sound horrible. I get it. Here's the deal. This is my third time of getting COVID. It's just like, what are you saying, Sam? You're right. What am I saying? I'm telling you the truth. The first time I had COVID was in January 2020. And there was no real way to test if you had COVID then. And, of course, I didn't even know it was COVID then. I just knew that I got really sick. I knew that it was hard to breathe, and I knew that my lungs hurt for several weeks. And then I slowly kind of got better. The problem is I had all kinds of side effects, all kinds of, now I learn, they call it long-haul symptoms, and it was brutal. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't think it related to me being sick at all. I just thought, man, something's wrong. And so I went to a bunch of doctors. I went literally to a battery of physicians. And we did all kinds of different tests and all kinds of different things. And we could not figure out what was wrong with me. Long story short, while we were in the middle of all that, because I had problems with my lungs, I had problems with breathing, I had a super sore neck, I had a super sore jaw, I had all kinds of problems, and we just couldn't figure it out. And I went to alternative doctors and standard medical physicians. And when I went through all this, it was kind of, scary because I thought, man, what is wrong with me? Well, anyway, while I was in the middle of this process, I literally ended up getting Bell's palsy. One side of my face started to totally droop. My eyes started to water. I couldn't talk. I looked weird. I kind of thought, man, this is almost stroke-like at first. So I go to another physician again, and they came back and said, well, you have Bell's palsy. It's not the end of the world. For most people, it'll go away in, 4 to 10 weeks. Just hang tight. Don't worry about it. But I thought, you know what? I don't even know that I can go on the radio. I'm not able to speak properly. This is just disaster for me. But I prayed, and I worked at it, and I continued to go to different physicians. And I was super tired. And as things got worse, I started to need to have oxygen. And I started to, I got a physician who said, you know what, Sam, why don't you just do oxygen for like 15 minutes, like 3 times a day and stuff. So I started doing that, and that helped a little bit. And I started to just realize that I'm just not well. I can't deal with this. And so I started to sleep a lot more, and that helped quite a bit. And then I went to an alternative dentist, and they came back and said, Sam, you know what? You have problems with these cavities, and you need what's called cavitation surgery. And what happens is when they take out your wisdom teeth or they take out different cavities or whatever that you have and replace them or update them or whatever they do, sometimes what happens is the seal breaks, and so you get an infection. And so anyway, I had this surgery, and they said this probably happened a long, long time ago. And what happens is the infection gets trapped in your body, but yet it's contained because it's sealed. And you don't even know it, but if something happens to you, you get sick or something else, it can release that infection. Anyway, long story short, I got that all squared away. And that helped, and I thought things were getting a lot better, and they were. But then I still had problems breathing. I still had problems with my neck. I still had problems with energy and just being absolutely tired, just couldn't handle it kind of stuff. And I still didn't understand that it was related to the first COVID probably. And so I told people that I thought I had COVID, and everybody laughed at me, and they were like, Sam, COVID wasn't even around then. Come on now. But then we study, and we find out more and more that COVID was around then, that more people had it than they had previously thought, that COVID had come out literally in 2019, more like the summer and the fall. And people laughed at me when I brought that up, but then evidence came out that the Chinese lab people were very sick in like the summer, mid-2019 and stuff like that. And then we start getting evidence that, you know what, it was around in January. And so I don't know that I had COVID the first time because, again, there was no real way to test. Well, later I take an antibody test as part of my diagnosis to try to figure out what's going on, what's wrong with me, what's happening. And the test came back and said negative. You don't have the antibodies. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I didn't have COVID. Maybe I just thought I did. But when you study, you find out that a lot of the symptoms that I'm having, continued trouble breathing, super tired, they're long-haul symptoms of COVID. And then you realize that COVID and the vaccines can create Bell's palsy. And so you get more and more anecdotal evidence that I probably did have COVID the first time, even though the antibody test was negative. And I still was conflicted about that, but I talked to many physicians, and they said, Sam, you should go get a different antibody test because, man, those are a lot of times those tests are bogus. You should go get another one. I never did. However, I never got well either. And they came back and diagnosed me with a bunch of different problems. And they did a sleep study on me and came back and said, Sam, you have severe apnea. You know, you have severe sleep problems. And, you know, they call it, what is it, AH or whatever. It's basically incidences per minute or whatever per hour. And anyway, it came back so severe. They're like, Sam, if you don't get on a CPAP or on some kind of other piece of equipment or do something, you're going to flat out die. And this is really bad. You got to do something. Well, no wonder I'm super tired, right? Not getting enough sleep. And so we do something about that. We've been working on my health for quite some time. And we do all these different things. We go to a lung specialist, and they do all these lung tests on me. They come back and they say, your lungs are great, Sam. Then I'm thinking, why can't I breathe? What's going on? We finally get to all the right physicians, and they do a CAT scan of my neck and of my shoulders and of my head. And they come back and they go, Sam, you have severe neck problems. You have a severe case of cervical spinal stenosis, a severe case. In other words, it's so bad, Sam, if you don't do something about it, you're going to be paralyzed. So I find out the surgery is over $32,000. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. And I find out, in addition to that, that they've got to conduct the surgery from the front of your body, not the back of your body. And what they do is they go in through your neck. And they say, don't worry, we move your vocal cords out of the way so that we can go ahead and do this surgery. And so we stretch those out of the way, and we don't worry, you won't be able to talk for 6 to 8 weeks very well. And, you know, most of the time your voice comes back, Sam. And I'm going, wait the heck a minute. I don't know that I'm going to do this, right? I don't know that I'm going to, you know. And so I think about this, and I go, you know what? I'm just not doing surgery. Because then I study about this, and it turns out that, hey, the work they have to do for me is serious. And they put a bunch of your spinal, I don't know what it's called. But anyway, they put the different sections of your spine together with metal and different things. And that helps protect the neck and protect from getting paralyzed. But what it does is it eventually creates more stress above and below where they've done this work. Right? And so then eventually you just get problems above or below it. So I start researching this, and I think, you know what? The risks are too great for this surgery. Too great that it won't turn out well. too great that, you know what, I might solve one problem and end up with another that may be worse. Or I might, and so I decide I'm not going to do this surgery. So I go to these alternative medical professionals. They're called NUCA chiropractors, and these are soft touch people. They basically take imaging, and then they make tiny, tiny adjustments to your body. But over time, they train your body or teach your body to be in alignment. And they start with the atlas. In other words, the first vertebra or whatever right below your brain. It controls your brain stem and all this kind of stuff. And it's called the atlas. And they get that centered. And they say over time, the rest of your back will come in line. Well, that's all true. And I've done a lot of that now. And it's helped quite a bit. But it hasn't totally solved the problems at all. And you say, well, Sam, what the heck is cervical spinal stenosis in the first place? And when you say you have a severe case, what does that mean? Well, I've done a lot of study on this. And so I know a whole lot more what it means now. And the break's coming up. I'm going to take the break, come back, and talk about what that means in detail. But severe cervical spinal stenosis is a serious problem. And you say, well, Sam, that's not a problem that's caused by the COVID. Somehow you went off the tracks with your discussion. No. We'll get back to it. I'll make sense out of it. Hang tight. I know this is a long Sam Bushman Help update, and some people may say, who cares, Sam? Get to the news. Look, Russia invaded Ukraine. Did you know that? Look, we don't have to wear masks anymore. Did you know that? I understand that. We'll get to all the news, too, okay? But I think this health update is really important to understand, and we'll talk about it. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm not sounding as strong as normal, but I'm talking about my health update. It's been a long, long haul scenario, to say the least, pardon the pun. But so I believe I had COVID the first time in 2020, and I believe it because I got Bell's palsy from it, and I've got long-haul symptoms like you wouldn't believe. And so this spinal stenosis that I'm talking about, this cervical spinal stenosis, is really rough stuff. And it can be brought on by three different possible things. One, hereditary stuff, and I do believe I have some of that. Narrowing in the bones and stuff like that. Two, it can be brought on by trauma to the neck, you know, accidents and that kind of stuff. And three, by COVID, believe it or not, can increase it. You know, the effects on the body from COVID is still completely misunderstood. and they're gaining ground on it. But man, from Bell's palsy to all kinds of illnesses, COVID can really affect your nervous system, can really affect your nerves and your whole body functions. It's incredible when you study and learn about this over time. Anyway, so long story short, I decided I'm not getting this cervical surgery. And I decided that I'm going to do this NUCA, or natural chiropractic stuff, which has made a tremendous difference. But it's not enough. There's still increasing pain and problems from this serious issue. So now, you know, Sam Bushman, you got all these problems. You got these sleep problems. You got these long-haul problems from COVID or from something. You've got these incredible neck problems where you're very likely to be paralyzed. And, you know, so all this is going on. So I'm living life and trying to recover and deal from that for the first bout of COVID. And I get the second bout or second COVID attack. And the second one is brutal, right? In the second COVID, I do take a test, several tests, in fact. They come back positive, so I know it's COVID. We're told that it's the Delta version this time, okay? The first one was what, original COVID? What do they call that, Alpha? Anyway, so Delta comes along. I test positive for that for sure. And then it goes on. And then what happens? I get super, super sick. So I deal with COVID fine for about the first 10, 12 days. And my body's handling it, and I'm fighting it, and I think that I'm getting better. Well, I don't know scientifically how all this goes down, but then all of a sudden, while I think I'm getting better, I think I'm rallying, I think I'm rebounding, I think I got this, I think I'm getting near the end of being sick, and all of a sudden, it absolutely tanks. Just goes off a cliff. I get to where I can't breathe. I get on oxygen literally full time. I get to where if I take off my oxygen levels go to like 70, 65 in literally 10 seconds. I can't survive without oxygen. I'm so tired, so listless, so lack of energy, so almost, I can barely get out of bed. My body's hurting. I can barely stagger to go to the restroom. So I go to the hospital. Yeah, I know all the conservatives say don't go to the hospital, but look, when you get that sick, you can say don't go to the hospital all day, but you're going to do whatever you need to do, because otherwise you're going to be dead. And so I go to the hospital, and they give me several different things. They give me what are called lactated ringers. And I don't know if you know what lactated ringers are, but it's basically like an IV. And it's kind of like the saline solution most people get. But this is a whole lot more. It's got all kinds of different things in it that really help rehydrate you and bring back energy and restore vitality to a great degree. So they give me a bunch of these lactated ringers, and it makes a huge difference. When I come in there where I can hardly even move, and after the lactated ringers and stuff like this, I get pretty stable and good. And so they eventually, because I have oxygen at home, listen carefully to me, ladies and gentlemen, all these things that I'm telling you have a purpose. It's not really to just share my life with everybody in the world, although I do consider the radio audience my dear family. The true listeners that have been with me year in and year out for radio, I consider them friends and family. That's why I'm live on many holidays as well, because I consider you loved ones and family, and I want to spend time with you. And even in the most precious of times, I spend it on the radio, because I don't look at it as you're a fan and I'm a rock star. And no, I look at us as we're true friends. And hopefully listening to me has a relationship beyond some fan-based kind of a discussion. I believe we are truly standing for the sacred cause of liberty together. This is personal. This is real. This is serious. This is something to me that really is meaningful. Your prayers for me as we go through the different things together. I pray for you, listeners. And you know what? There's a relationship here, a familial bond that, you know what, I believe started in heaven before we ever got here. We may not have known each other, but we've had this fight for liberty mentality and belief in our hearts and in our souls. And that brings us together as children of God like nobody's business, right? Anyway, so I think of you as a whole lot more than just a fan or an unknown person. Or, a, you know what, we may not know each other well personally. You may have never even met me. But I hope we have this bond of what we're accomplishing together. And that transcends a lot of the day-to-day relationships, whether they be online or whether they be virtual or whether they be physical or in person or whatever. I believe that the relationships of what we're accomplishing together are beyond all that. They even tie us back to the founding fathers as one great liberty-loving, liberty-fighting family, fighting for the sacred cause of liberty, right? Anyway, I digress. But I'm telling you, that so I spend this time. So I'm not telling you all this because I want to really divulge all my personal health information, but I do believe many of our listeners, many friends out there, deserve an explanation. You hear me come on the air and I can hardly talk, and I power through it, and then pretty soon I sound not so bad, right? And you kind of wonder, what is up with that? I skip days on the radio sometimes, and you go, man, what happened to him? Well, you know what? It's all these health issues that I'm describing to you. So anyway, long story short, I get COVID the second time. I get all these tests going on, right? And the tests say, yep, he's got COVID. And so it gets really bad, and I literally ended up going to the hospital twice. And I almost died. And I don't, you know, my kids laugh at me and say, Sam, you tell everybody you almost died. I know, because I've never been that close to death in my entire life. I've never been so sick in my entire life, not even close. Not even close. You know, when you're a little kid and you get so sick, you cry, you know, 4 or 5 years old, 7 years old, you're so sick, you cry because your throat hurts or whatever. None of those are even close. I've never been so sick, never been so close to death. Literally in my mind praying, Lord, if I'm supposed to die, let me go now. But I'd love to stay and be with my wife and my children and my loved ones. I'd love to stay and fight for the sacred cause of liberty. I'd love to be here to fight another day for the principles that we hold dear. I'd love to tell the world my testimony of Jesus Christ, that he lives another day. Father, if it's thy will that I'm supposed to stay, let me stay. Otherwise, let me go. This is, you know, and I'm on oxygen. I'm not able to breathe. I'm in bed. I can barely get up. Pretty much need help to get up. You know, I didn't go into a coma or anything because I didn't stay in the hospital. See, both times I was able to leave the hospital. Why? Because I had oxygen. This is back to the point again. Listen to me. Because I had oxygen. Anyway, and so I was able to go home, whereas I would not have been able to go home. I would have been checked into the hospital full time. And then what would they have done to me? Well, they would have done what they did to Scott Bradley. They almost killed him. This is not a joke. This is serious. And so I don't really love to just run around and tell people I almost died, but I want people to understand the gravity of the situation. I am absolutely only here by the grace of God Almighty right now. That's right. And so we need to really understand this. And so when I get COVID the second time, I literally, after the first 10 days, thought I was getting better, and then I just tanked. And I went to the hospital twice, and they gave me lactated ringers. And I'm going to tell you a little story of what happened to me in the hospital. They don't like unvaccinated people, ladies and gentlemen. They don't like us. So, of course, they asked me if I was vaccinated or not, and I said, of course not. And they dutifully wrote it down. But then there was kind of a sea change in how I was treated in the hospital. And pretty soon they're just like, well, we need to let you go home. If you have oxygen, you can go home and just deal with it yourself. There's not much we can do here for you. And they had given me these lactated ringers that I mentioned to you both times. The second time, they had to give me probably triple the amount to be able to move and talk and whatever like that. And so, anyway, I'll tell you more of the story. I know this is going to be long and probably boring, but I'm hoping there's some anecdotal reality for the rest of you in this. I hope there's some guidance towards self-reliance in this. I hope there's some solutions in this for everyone. And I hope this story helps you understand what's at stake in the sacred cause of liberty. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. I am Sam Bushman.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention dramatically eased COVID-19 guidelines for when Americans should wear masks indoors, a move that means over 72% of the U.S. population will reside in communities where indoor face coverings are no longer recommended. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when our levels are low, and then have the ability to reach for them again should things get worse in the future.
And in an update from Ukraine, the streets of the Ukrainian capital of Kiev have become a battle zone, but President Vladimir Zelensky told citizens in a video message that the country is withstanding and repelling enemy attacks. More than 120,000 Ukrainians have already left, while 850,000 are internally displaced, according to the United Nations Deputy High Commissioner for Refugees. This is USA Radio News.
Billy Gerard, we're here with Nancy B., who's a longtime user of Revive One. Nancy, tell me, how has Revive One changed your life?
Well, my husband has a lot of pain in his back, and believe me, we've tried a million things. They have so many things on the counter. I've had prescriptions. I've had all kinds of things. But this really, really does relieve the pain on his shoulder and his back. And now I've got a little bursitis in my hip. And I've been using that too, and I'm so pleased. I tell people to please try this product because it really, really works.
Not available in stores or on Amazon. Get yours factory direct at painfreeland.com. That's painfreeland.com. Use coupon code SAVE20 for 20% off and free shipping. Pain relief or your money back at painfreeland.com or call 877-577-2289. Not available in stores or on Amazon. Painfreeland.com. Coupon code SAVE20.
The active ingredient in Revive One has been shown to temporarily relieve pain associated with arthritis, muscle strains, sprains, and more. Use only as directed.
Drug maker Johnson & Johnson and three major distributors have finalized nationwide settlements over their role in the opioid addiction crisis, an announcement that clears the way for $26 billion to flow to nearly every state and local government in the United States. Taken together, the settlements are the largest to date among many opioid-related cases that have been playing out across the country. They're expected to provide a significant boost to efforts aimed at reversing the crisis in places that have been devastated by it, including many parts of rural America. U.S. market regulators are probing whether Tesla boss Elon Musk and his brother violated insider trading rules in connection with share sales last year. The Securities and Exchange Commission launched its probe after Kimball Musk sold $108 million worth of Tesla stock just a day before a significant drop in the electric car maker's price. Tesla stock value dropped sharply after Elon Musk posted a Twitter poll asking whether he should sell 10% of his stake in the company. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio, telling you a personal story about health, and it's a long story, and I'm so sorry it may be boring as all get out. But I want to document this on the radio, and I want to document it for my posterity. I want to document it for education purposes, whatever you want to call it. And so I get so sick, and I get these lactated ringers, and I'm in the hospital the second time, and they realize that I'm not vaccinated, and they change how they treat me. They're not in your face rude, get out of here, slapping me around, or anything like that. But they certainly have a dismissive attitude. A little bit like, you're here and it's your own fault. You're here and, I mean, all the things that we could have done for you, we can't do because you're kind of like the great unwashed, man. You're unvaccinated. If you're not going to do anything for your own health, what can we do for you? Attitude. And they don't blatantly say this to me, but there are some, including the doctors, that are having this attitude towards me. And you can feel it. It's palpable. It's almost a hatred. It's almost a disrespect. Like, you know, how dare you even come into our hospital after you don't follow the guidance of the government and you, but there's some people that are incredibly nice to me, like beyond nice. It's almost as if they know that you're unvaccinated, and they agree with you, but they don't dare say so, but they can make up for it with their kindness. And you see this split. You literally see this split, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's beyond imagination. And this split, then, is evident. But the ones that are hostile, and I don't know how this is. I'm just telling you what is, right? Because, again, I don't know what guidance people have been given. I don't know factually what the case is. I've interviewed people about it, and they see it, but they don't know either. What am I talking about? Well, like Nurse Erin, when we had her on the radio, she says, look, their protocols are just horrible. And they know it, but they're afraid to say something. Their protocols in the hospital literally are killing people and making people sicker. It goes against everything we know medically, everything we've understood over decades of science and everything. They're going against it all, but you bring it up and you're an outcast. Well, so this is happening. And one of the protocols or one of the things that they're doing, and I don't know if this is like nationwide or this just happened to me, but I'll tell you my story and see how it might resonate around the world. But so what they do then is they don't really give me good advice. They almost withhold their medical knowledge of truth from me because the protocols say, Sam, you need to check into the hospital. Sam, you really need to get on a vent, buddy. Sam, you need to be given whatever it's called, Rodesimir, or whatever that drug's called. You know, you need to be this. That. Every one of these protocols, folks, will kill you. Unless you're lucky as or blessed as all get out of there. But all these medications they want to give you and all these protocols and ventilators and everything else, they're all designed to take you away from life. And Dr. Scott Bradley even comes on the radio and tells you everything they did to me in the hospital was the wrong thing to do. Well, anyway, so they don't like the fact that I'm able to go home because I have oxygen. And they don't have any answers for me. Except, Sam, we'll give you these lactated ringers. And we'll give you. So I start talking to the doctor, and I said, listen, I need something for my lungs. I need something to fight this. I'm getting sick. And so then the doctor, the first time I went to the hospital, said, hey, Sam, you don't have COVID pneumonia. You're fine. Well, the second time I went to the hospital, he looked back at the first records and said, I don't know what that other doctor was talking about. You absolutely have COVID pneumonia in a pretty severe case. Oh, great. I said, well, what? I don't know if the first doctor didn't want to admit to it. I don't know if they couldn't let me go. So they, anyway, all I'm telling you is, so the second doctor's like, you absolutely have COVID pneumonia, buddy. And that's why you're having such a trouble breathing. And so I said, well, what can I do? And he's like, well, there's nothing we can really do. So while the doctor goes out, because they go out and do all these different tests and come back in and all this stuff, right? I call my daughter, who happens to be a CNA and her husband's studying and is a nurse and all this kind of stuff. And so I call my children because you know what? One of the great things about your children is they grow up and become adults and they become smarter than you, right? So anyway, I talk to them and they say, listen, here's what you need to do. And they basically tell me you need to get this little device that you blow or you suck on, you breathe in or whatever, and you force this little ball to the top. It's this little device. It's this mechanical device kind of thing. You can buy them for like $5 or $10 or something. But anyway, you got to get that before you leave because they're hard to get if you don't get it from the hospital. And this thing will help your lungs get stronger. You got to do this, and you got to do these lung exercises every day. And so I make a note of that. And my daughter also says, hey, for your lungs, you need to get these. It's called something pearls. I don't know what it's called right now. I'm not a medical guy. So, you know what? When it comes to tech, when it comes to finance, when it comes to, you know, mortgages and loans and insurance. And, you know, I know a lot about a lot of things. Business, I don't know a lot about medical. And I'm not stupid, but I don't really know the terms. And I don't know a lot. But my daughter says, you got to get these pearls because they'll really, really help your lungs. And they'll help your cough. And you've got to get to where you can cough without it hurting so much that you can actually start to make progress and stuff. Anyway, so then I get off the phone with my daughter and I get on. The doctor comes back in and I say, Doc, I need to get something for my lungs and my cough. This is serious. Well, these pearls, just so you know, are a prescription. They're beyond, you know, just your regular cough stuff. And I say to the doctor, and this is kind of what I mean about how they treat you once they know you're, quote, non-vaxxed, right? And I say to the doctor, I said, look, I need to get something for this cough. And he ignores me, and I say it again, and then he eventually says, well, what do you want me to do? I can give you some cough medicine. I literally laughed out loud. I'm like, are you kidding me? Doctor, cough medicine's not going to help or work. That's not going to get it done. So instead of then the doctor thinking of other options, which is his job, his responsibility, to kind of guide me in the medical field, he goes, well, I mean, that's all I really have for you. Well, I knew better. How did I know better? Because I had a loved one who knew better, who understands medical and who has been in the doctor's situations and been there as an assistant and seen what other people have received and knew what to ask for, what to get. So then I said to the doctor, I said, can you do anything more than just cough medicine? And so instead of finding a solution, he looks right at me and he goes, well, what do you suggest? Well, he was doing that because what he wanted me to say is, well, I don't know, sir. And then he'd say, well, that's all there is. However, I was ready for him. And what I said was, I need these. And I knew the name because I just don't remember it right now, right? But I said, I need these pearls. And he goes, oh, that's actually a good idea. I can do that. And I'm thinking to myself at the time, well, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say so if that's a good idea? Is it that you really didn't think of it, Doc? Is it that you really lack the medical education to think of that? Or is it that you were withholding that information from me? Now, I don't want to go into conspiracy land on this. I don't know the truth of each individual doctor. I don't know what their thought processes are. I don't know if they're just trying to follow the science and they believe the CDC's right. I don't know if they believe the protocols handed down. Hey, the hospital, this is what we're supposed to do. I don't know if it's against their better judgment. I don't know if he was doing this on purpose. I don't know, individually speaking. But I know this. Why is a guy like me, who's sick as could be, why am I the one proposing what I need to get better? And why does he say, well, there's nothing I really have for you. And then when I bring up something, he's like, oh, yeah, I could do that. So here's the question. Here's the $64,000 question. Were they told not to offer anything to me, but if I insist on certain things, or if I know certain things, or if I have knowledge, then they're obligated to carry it out? Are they on record, and if I mention these pearls, and they don't, you know, provide them, and then I get sick and die or whatever else, do they have a liability that if they don't bring it up, then no harm, no foul, but if I bring it up, then, you know, I don't know. Is this a, well, don't give me any information, but if they, you know, insist on certain things or know certain things, then it's different? I don't know. But it was very, very strange. Very strange indeed. Well, so that happened. That was a very simple thing. And you could say, Sam, that was just a doctor that was overwhelmed and busy. It was late at night and, you know, dealing with sick people. And he just didn't think of that for you. When you thought of it, he went, okay, good idea. There's nothing there, Sam. You might be right. But when you combine that with the way that I was kind of treated by some with kindness and love who may have understood my non-vaccinated state and agreed with it, but yet the different little bit of hostility from the other group, it starts to kind of make more sense. I'm going to talk about this more. This is going to take a long time, way longer than I expected, but I think it's worthy of the thoughts. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live, back in a flash.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Sam Bushman on your radio talking about my personal experiences with COVID. I believe I've had it 3 times. I have proof for the second 2 times. The first time, I don't really have evidence or proof, except for I have all kinds of downstream anecdotal reality. Getting Bell's palsy is one of them. Long-haul COVID effects are another one of them. But again, I don't know the first time, but I believe I've had COVID 3 times now. Right now is one of them. I've literally tested positive just a couple of days ago. So I'm literally on your radio with COVID. And this is the, what do they call this one? Omicron? Yeah. So this time it's the Omicron. First time was Alpha. Second time was Delta. Now it's Omicron kind of thing. So anyway, the hospital really treats you unfairly and unkindly if you're unvaccinated in many, many cases. And so I literally get to go home the second time because, again, I have oxygen. And the doctor kind of questioned, because he's like, well, I don't really want to give you oxygen. You should probably stay here. And then I said, oh, no, I have oxygen. I can go home. He didn't like that. He didn't like that at all, really. He's like, oh, where did you get oxygen? How do you have oxygen? Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, what do they call it? Pressurized oxygen is a controlled substance. Are you hearing me right now? Oxygen is like a controlled substance. Does oxygen require a prescription? Right? You got to ask that to Google or whatever. Yes, it does, because it's a controlled substance. Why do you need a prescription for oxygen, you might say? The FDA requires that medical oxygen only be distributed with a prescription. Yeah, they say it's important because a medical, quote, professional tells you how much you need, how long you need to use it. Right? Yes, you need prescription for an oxygen concentrator. They're considered a, quote, class 2 medical device, a concentrator. This means you must have a valid prescription from a board-certified doctor in order to purchase one. Why do you got to have a prescription for an oxygen concentrator? Does oxygen need to be prescribed? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Now, why this is a mystery to me. But I guess they want you to believe that somehow, you know, you can get too much oxygen or something like that. And you know what? Maybe there is a very remote truth to that. Let me give you an example. If you drink too much water, you'll die. But they say, what is medical grade? Think of the terms they're using now. What is medical grade oxygen, right? Well, medical grade oxygen is considered a drug by the Food and Drug Administration. Yeah. They say there are several reasons for this. First, requiring a prescription means that there's two safety measures in place. both the regulation of the medical oxygen itself and a regulatory process of use. Okay, it's very strange. Anyway, I digress. I'm just telling you what I've learned over time. And so the doctor kind of freaks because I actually have oxygen. And he's like, who gave you that? Why do you have it? And I explained that I had been sick before and that I got a medical prescription and I have a concentrator, which is all legitimate, all true. All. So he kind of backs off and he mellows out. But he almost seems disappointed that I'm not staying or checking into the hospital. See, I never checked in as a patient. Just so you know, you go to the hospital and you do a lot of pre-work and then they decide if you need to be checked in or not. Well, this prevented me from being required to check in virtually. Yeah, strange, huh? I know. It's weird. But anyway, so I go home again and I'm on oxygen and I eventually just cannot get better. I'm just kind of like in this state of no man's land. Can't get well. Not getting worse because oxygen's doing fine for the most part. But I'm just not getting better at all. I'm just at this kind of situation where I can't take off oxygen. I'm just sick. And if I do, my oxygen drops. Like immediately. Boom. And I'm totally don't have any energy. The only thing that will help me is these lactated ringers. They provide a boost of energy or something to, you know, they help. They hydrate you. You can't seem to get enough liquid otherwise. Because the liquid, the hydration doesn't really get into your cells and all this kind of stuff. So I'm dealing with this, and I know I need ivermectin. But so now we're like 25 days in. And I've been sick for the first 10 days, thought I had a handle on it. And then, you know, 20, 25 days in kind of range, after two hospital visits, et cetera, only able to go home because I have oxygen. Then I just can't get ivermectin. I know it's the answer, but I can't get it. Well, I finally find an alternative doctor that gives it to me. And literally, I take ivermectin. After the first dose of ivermectin, and after using these pearls that I'm telling you about, my lungs start getting a little bit stronger. And literally within hours of taking ivermectin, I take off the oxygen and I use one of those things that you put on your finger. What do they call that? An ox, whatever. And my oxygen's not dropping near precipitously like it was. And I literally can take off oxygen and I'm breathing without oxygen now. And so I believe that the grace of God and ivermectin saved my life. Literally within hours of the first dose, I take doses for 5 days. Now, like Joe Rogan, they're going to tell you that I took horse dewormer, horse poop, animal, medication, not even appropriate for humans, lies. No, it was prescribed by a doctor. It said on there for humans. It was literal little pills that you swallow or whatever. And I took it for 5 days. And I'm telling you, within hours, I came off of oxygen and my lungs got stronger and stronger to the point where I could sit up now. I could get up and walk around. I could start to do things. And then I talked to the alternative doctor that gave me the ivermectin, and he said, listen, you need to be on serious doses of vitamin C, like 7,000 plus milligrams a day. And you need to be on vitamin D, serious. I think it's, I use what they call it, a vitamin D. And you need to be on zinc. And you need to do all these different things. And so I start doing that, and I start getting stronger and better. I don't need my oxygen. I'm starting to breathe fine, and my energy is just slowly returning. Well, literally after a month, I get better enough to where I say, you know what? I think I can beat this thing now. Well, the questions that I have for you through this whole thing are, ladies and gentlemen, what got me better? Ivermectin. Your government calls it horse dewormer, horse poop. Don't take it. Then the doctors tell me, that the mainstream doctors tell me the only thing that'll save you, Sam, or the only thing that'll help you is a vaccination. But yet now people with vaccinations are getting sick too, right? I know people now, many of them, that, hey, they've got vaccinations, but they're getting COVID also. So that's not true. But I look at the what got me well, and I say, you know what? Oxygen got me well. Oxygen saved my life. All right? But you got to kind of ask yourself, why is oxygen such a controlled substance? They say the reason that oxygen under pressure is a prescription is because, you know what, it could ignite. Oxygen toxicity is real. It's possible to get too much oxygen, just like it's possible to get too much water. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's almost impossible to get too much oxygen. All right? And even if you have a concentrator, who in their right mind would be on oxygen? Listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. Who in their right mind would be on oxygen if you don't need it? Well, Sam, it's kind of like that old rock and roll song back in the 70s. You know, it's like love is like oxygen. Not enough and you're going to die. Get too much, you're going to get high. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't really get high on oxygen. And most people, look, you've got to be chained to a mask or at least, you know, a nebula or something, whatever they call those things. Not nebula, what's it called? Anyway. It's the little thing that goes over your nose or whatever where you breathe oxygen. I can't remember the term. Like I say, I'm not a medical guy. But anyway, cannula? Yeah, that's what it's called. Anyway, so all I'm telling you, though, is people just aren't going to be breathing in tons of oxygen if they don't need it. So I have a concentrator, and it's here because of my severe spinal stenosis, which I'll get into in the next hour. I didn't mean to talk about this for so long, but I'm going to. I think it has too many valuable takeaways for all of us. Every one of us who's listening. But anyway, so I've got this concentrator, but I don't use it every day because I don't need it every day now. Why would I use it if I don't need it? I mean, I don't want to sit there chained to a cannula or whatever. And I mean, it makes your nose sore if you have too much oxygen. Look, there's too many reasons people would not do it every day. Okay, so you're not going to overdose from oxygen. It's like drinking too much water. I guess you could, but I don't know anybody who would, you know. So anyway, I tell you this because what saved my life is God Almighty. I give all the credit to my God because I receive blessings from loved ones who I believe have authority to act in the name of God and give blessings and healings. I believe that ivermectin saved my life. I believe that an oxygen concentrator saved my life. I believe the natural vitamin C, heavy doses, vitamin D, heavy doses, and zinc, heavy doses, contributed to saving my life. But every one of the things that saved my very life the second time I got COVID are the very things that the government prohibits. So the government complains there's too many people going to the hospital. They're right. I went twice. They're right. I went twice. There are too many people going to the hospital. What would it take, though, to help people not go to the hospital? And my response is education, 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 and the relaxing of some nonsensical laws. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk more about this in detail. It's going to be a two-hour bonanza on this topic. What did I get and what did I do and what could make it better? Why? What could have prevented me from having to go to the hospital? Let's talk about it a little bit more. Remember the term lactated ringers. Remember oxygen. Remember, okay, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.